What a blessing. Thank you so much, Pastor Armin. You and Verdui mean a very lot to my husband and our family. Thank you so very much. So I'm honored to be here to share the Word of God with you. How many enjoy the Word of God? Amen. This will be my first time speaking with an interpretation, so I'm so very grateful. I'm honored to be here and to see what God is doing through your life is just such a blessing to me. So thank you again for allowing us to come and share with you.
Thank you.
And as I was worshiping, the Holy Spirit shared with me that you're no longer homeless.
Oh.
You now have a house. And as I was reading the House magazine, I know that God birthed in your heart long ago. Even I think you had one child when we met at Bible college, and now you've got more. So God is expanding your territory. And the vision and the dream that he's placed in your heart is no longer homeless. You have a home now, and God's bringing your flock together. So everybody that comes and is blessed by the word of God, God has prepared you for tonight, and he's prepared you to be the house. You are the house, and we have all that we need to move forward in the calling of God on our lives. He's already prepared us, brought us through so much before even the birth of the church. I'm just so grateful to be able to see it come to fruition.
Yeah.
It was 2008, so it's been some years that we've gone, you know. Yeah, it's been a process.
Yeah.
So tonight's message is about preparation, promotion, and prosperity. And we're going to go over those three things and break down the word and what that means to the house. As I was preparing the message for you tonight, God's economy is so much different than ours. No matter where you're born, no matter where you're from, no matter what community, God's vision is so much different than our own. The parents that we're born to are our earthly parents. What happens when we become Christians and we give our hearts to Jesus? There's a transformation and a blood transfusion that happens between us and the Holy Spirit. We start looking a lot more like Christ and a little less like our own birth parents. God puts us in families for a certain purpose and a certain reason. And I look back over my own life and my own experiences, and I wonder about my parents, and I wonder why to some things that we've experienced as a family. Once I became a Christian, it all made sense. None by coincidence, none by mistake. The Lord has prepared us for this very time, such as this. He's going to use everything that we've experienced in life to fulfill his call. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, may we decrease and may you increase, Lord, as we open your word. It's so holy. Father, I pray that you would guard our minds and our hearts as we open ourselves, Lord, for your word, that you may come alive to us, that we may receive your word tonight in a greater level, in a greater way, God, so that we can further the kingdom, Lord, that you've brought us to. We love you, and as we decrease, you increase, and you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to turn in the book of Genesis. I don't know if you brought your Bibles or you have your smartphones. I want to encourage you because September 6th is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So the birth of the church is right around the corner. It's kind of like, you know, being pregnant with childbirth. And
that's what I was telling them past Tuesday. I was like, I'm carrying this child and birth pains, you know.
So it's like being pregnant, but 10 months. I don't know how many women have had babies, but for a man to be pregnant, it's much different than a woman. It hurts. It hurts a lot more because our bodies aren't prepared for that.
Why it's called church planting.
Church planting.
Church planting.
You're birthing his house. Birthing his house. It's no longer a tent. You've been dwelling in a tent, and now it's a house. So just imagine birthing a house. That's a lot of lack of sleep. That's a lot of prayer. That's a lot of going before man and asking, how can God's plan come to life without help? As we were worshiping, I could hear, I don't know who it was, there were ladies' voices singing, that's going to be your worship team. I don't know who that is. But on my right side, I could hear women singing back here, and they're going to help with your worship team.
Yeah.
So be prepared to stand up. Amen.
Yeah.
I speak and I do this all the time. I've done it even before I became a pastor. I've spoken for a living, and now that I'm a pastor of a church, I told my husband I was preparing tonight. I said, I'm getting butterflies in my stomach. That's different than fear. Fear is much different than having butterflies and needing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You've got to know the difference between the two, and you've got to be prepared for the two. Fear will kill you. The fear from the enemy will kill you. Butterflies keep you dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So when God gave me the word preparation, He's already prepared us for this very house. So remember, butterflies are different than fear. So Genesis, we're going to go to Genesis 6:14. Here the Lord is talking to us about the flood. How could we talk about the flood in a drought? We can't water our lawns. Our water is going to Southern California, but God. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. God is talking to Noah in the midst of a drought. We can't fear a drought because God knows. Until then, it had not rained before. The ground was fertilized and watered through mists from the ground. The water came from the ground up. So in preparation, it requires a mentality of serving and working with diligence without question. Longevity and stamina. Strength and power, don't ever give up. Don't ever question God. Listen to what the word says. In the midst of a drought, you build your boat. How many other pastors are willing to take their families and open a church right now? Pray for Pastor Armin and Verdui and their family. Pray covering over them. Pray blessing over them. And ask Him how you can help. Preparation. Strength and power not to give up when all around you is failing in a drought. Sometimes that's life issues, hardships. I don't think we could survive without Christ. Sometimes our children, sometimes our marriages, sometimes our finances seem to be falling apart. There's a drought in our soul. Preparation is the hard part. Remember when God asked Noah to build an ark? There had been no rain. There was no flood. There was no lakes, no rivers. He had to trust God. People thought he was crazy. Sometimes people think we might be crazy. We speak faith. We do what God says for us to do, and people just look at us and wonder. Church planting, people can shake their heads and say, have fun and enjoy it, but God has a plan. When Pastor Armin told me that there were 30,000 Armenians in the city of Sacramento, my heart just leapt with joy. Begin to tell people about the house and what God has done for you and what God can do for them. It's called evangelism. So I'm preaching your last message.
Yes, evangelism and witnessing.
And I had no idea what you had talked about on Tuesday. That's how God works. That's how good God is. God is, he's bringing it home, and he's sharing with you how much he loves you, because I had no idea. Build the boat in the drought. This boat had no engines, no rudders, no direction. God had Noah build the boat to float. So now when we look at boats and we think about boats, there aren't boats without an engine, without a rudder, without a direction. But this boat was made to float. In Noah's time, the world was corrupt. What the Bible says is Noah was a just and perfect man. Don't ever underestimate the love the Lord has for you. Build your boat in the drought. The word ark means box. That's much different than a yacht with bedrooms and could cost potentially millions of dollars. God asked Noah to build a simple box. What has God prepared us to do for him? What is he asking for us to do for him? For some reason, we always refocus on the yacht with the bedrooms and the nice deck. We don't picture a box. We're looking for the rich and the famous and the lavish lifestyles. Forget the focus of the box. God has prepared you for such a time as this. You didn't survive by coincidence. The next is promotion. So we've got preparation, and then now we have promotion. How many like to get promoted? Let's turn in the Bible to Esther chapter 2. This is a much different story. Esther 2:8. The Bible says, when the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many girls were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. The girl pleased him and won favor. Immediately, he provided her with beauty treatments and special food. So she had been promoted. She had been promoted from an abandoned a girl who had no, it looked like the girl had no purpose. It didn't look like she had much of a future. God gave her favor and promotion. Her name was birthed Hadasha, and she's also now called Esther. Her name was Hadash.
Hadash.
It's 7.
Yeah,
2:7. It says Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah.
Hadasha.
Whom he brought up because she had neither father nor mother. So it looked like she had no future. But God had a plan. She was promoted to the kingdom. So from her house with her uncle up to the palace. Similar to going to Bible college, and now you're going to be a lead pastor. And it's a tough promotion. So now you're not only over people and projects, you're over souls. The greatest responsibility on earth. We too are responsible for souls. Our families, our friends, our coworkers. God puts us in places so that we can influence the kingdom of God. You have been promoted. The Bible doesn't identify if Esther went willingly or against her will, but God saw the end from the beginning. Similar to us being born in our families with our mother and our father, we give our hearts to Christ and we look more like Him. God sees our end from the beginning of time. The Bible talks about us being formed in our mother's womb. That's God. We're His plan and His purpose. And every step, every part of our lives that we have walked through, good and bad, are all a part of the process to prepare us for now. Everything God uses for His glory. Esther. God used Esther to help save a nation and a future generation, an entire community. So when we think about promotion, sometimes we think about it from an earthly perspective. Our jobs, a better house, a rich husband, nice cars, the best children, a pretty face. God sees promotion so much different than we do. He's looking at the inside. And the way in which we're truly promoted is by giving our hearts to Jesus Christ and living all the days of our lives for Him. That is true promotion. It doesn't mean preparation doesn't come. And yes, get an education, get a good job, take good care of yourself, but don't forget His house. That's promotion. We've got to start training our minds to think differently about promotion. Now we're going to talk a little bit about prosperity. How many like prosper, to do good and to be comfortable and, right? Prosperity is a lot different through the eyes of Christ than it is for us. We work hard, we go to school, we want to get the best job. And all those things are very, very important. God wants to promote you where you are. Sometimes that means update your resume, change jobs, do something to help yourself. But truly, prosperity is a position that you hold in Christ. We're going to turn in the book of Matthew 18:11. Here we talk about the parable of the lost sheep. How many were once lost? So prosperity to Jesus is much different than how we see prosperity for ourselves. He really is a soul man. A soul man. A man that's concerned about the soul. Matthew 18:11. See, you do not look down on one of my little ones. It says that he came to seek and save that which is lost. So that's what Christ's prosperity means. So Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad that his prosperity is different than mine. Giving my heart to Christ was one of the greatest commitments I've ever made. I would never want to go back to what it was before. I couldn't imagine my life, my days, or anything without Christ. There's no more wavering or straddling the fence. No more. That's prosperity. I was asked when my husband and I went to church planting, we went to an assessment evaluation, and one of the questions that was asked of me, who have you led to Christ lately, and how are they doing now? That question tends to pierce my heart. Who have I led to Christ lately, and how are they doing now? I had to dig back in my mind for quite some time to figure out who I had led to Christ, and how were they doing, really. My heart was somewhat grieved, because I always pray and ask the Lord, today let me come across someone that needs prayer and needs Christ. Today I was shopping at Didi's. One of the men in the store that worked there came to help me. He returned to the front and shared with me that I have never met him before. I didn't know him. And he looked at me and said that his supervisor was giving him a hard time. He was going too slow. I guess he was working too slowly. His face was just down. And I looked at him and told him to just hold on. I asked him his name and told him that I would pray for him. It changed everything. It didn't change my bill, but it changed my bank account. Just to see his face change. And I did tell him to work hard, and he needs his job. And he shook his head and agreed with me, yes, you're right, you're right. And I reached my hand out to meet him and said, hey, my name is Pastor Chris. Everything about him changed. I just got money in the bank. That's God's economy. That's prosperity. That's true prosperity. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. What are we doing? All we have to do is post the house on Facebook, dates and times. Talk about what you've got, how blessed you've been to be here. Invite family and friends and be excited, because someone needs to hear what pastor needs to preach. Even if they say no, we win. We win. Prosperity, that's our job, to help Jesus on the journey where he says that not one would perish. So with that preparation, you've been prepared already. No more excuses. Offer pastor and his wife, how can you help? Bring other people with you and you win. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for preparation. Thank you for provision. Thank you for giving to us. We are so blessed. Dear Jesus, please allow our prosperity to change, that not one would perish. Use us, Lord, to help your house. Thank you tonight for your word, for saving us, so that we can help others to become saved. We love you. We pray over the house. We pray over Pastor Armin and his family. Blessings beyond measure. Bring them in, north, south, east, and west, so their lives would be blessed. We thank you in advance for the house. In Jesus' name, amen.
What an amazing sermon.